Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. In order to stay ahead in business, you need to be on the pulse of the business world, current news, and politics. We'll provide the thought-provoking topics and show you where we have been, what's next, and what it means for you at home. Life's complicated. Let Andy help you figure it out. Now, here is your host, Andy Bush.
Welcome back to Engage. I'm Andy Bush. Remember, you can get this show on iTunes by downloading the free podcast app and then searching for Engage with Andy Bush. Now, there appears to be a wave of new entrants into the 2016 presidential sweepstakes, and I can't think of a better person to discuss this with than Chief Political Strategist for Potomac Research, Greg Valliere. He's fresh from a tour of duty in Hawaii and brings his insights to us today from D.C. Greg, welcome to the show.
Great to be back with you, Andy.
You know, I had to get that little dig in because I'm just defrosting from Chicago, and, you know, it's unfortunate, but Greg has to, you know, pull the heavy load and do conferences in Hawaii. So my hat's off to you. I wish I could do that. Well, hey, last week we had Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders announce he's running for the Democrat nomination. And this week we have neurosurgeon Ben Carson, former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina, and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee all announced. So let's start with Sanders. Does his candidacy indicate that truly there's a belief that the Clinton coronation is not going as planned?
Well, I agreed on the latter. I don't think the coronation is going as planned. And just in the last few hours, Bill Clinton had a very inartful comment saying that they, at the foundation, they did not knowingly do anything inappropriate, leading some people to think, did they unknowingly do anything inappropriate? It goes back to the meaning of the word is.
Right.
And, you know, having more and more disclosures, I think, are likely with the Clinton Foundation. I think it's going to be a real problem for her. She's the favorite, but she's not the prohibitive favorite. And I think she looks a little weaker now for the general election. So, yeah, you're going to have lots of speculation about not just Bernie Sanders or even John Kerry or Martin O'Malley. I think there's going to be one last focus by Joe Biden on running. And he, you know, everyone laughs when I say that, but he's very popular in the base. He's a very likable and gregarious guy. He knows how to get things done on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we haven't quite heard the last of Joe Biden.
Well, I totally agree on that point for many different reasons.
Yes.
I don't think Biden will ever stop talking, so and making mispronunciations of names and doing back rubs. And but more importantly to Sanders, I mean, what does he hope to accomplish since he's not well-known or well-funded?
Well, I think he wants to push the party to the left. He wants to talk about, you know, income inequality and the, you know, the role of big corporations in America. And he, you know, he has an agenda, and I think he wants to be heard. I don't think he has any illusions that he's going to be the nominee, but he could be a factor. He could, in a state like Iowa, win 15% of the vote. It's not out of the question.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I actually listened to Nancy Pelosi's briefing last week, and she really hit all of those themes that, Sanders is going to hit clearly during his campaign. But what I thought was interesting was how, you know, they talked about, or she talked about income inequality, and that was the lens through which she's looking at trade promotion authority and saying, well, I'll, you know, we'll look at it and approve it if it increases workers' paychecks. So, I mean, these are the themes that are going to come through in 2016 over and over and over again, I think. What do you think?
You bet. Minimum wage, taxes on the wealthy, taxes on corporations. But the fight right now, you're quite correct, is on this trade bill, fast-track trade promotion authority. I think there's not enough Democrats in the House yet to pass this. So they're going to have to buy on to an argument that the worker protection provisions in the bill are sufficient to make it okay for a Democrat to support it. But that's one where everyone's looking at Hillary. Where does she come down on this? And I think her declaration will be determinative for the entire bill.
Well, and given that she, back in, what was it, 2012, she glowingly spoke of the TPP. And so
called it the gold standard. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So I don't see how she's going to avoid supporting it, probably with the caveats that the worker provisions are stronger. And maybe she says, I can't support it without that. But it's fascinating to hear Pelosi's take on it and say, well, unless it expands the workers' paychecks, how about it keeps the workers' paycheck? Because if we don't have that free trade, we lose those jobs. That was absent of the discussion, but...
And it's a huge issue, Andy, for the agricultural community.
Oh, yeah.
And if you believe, as I do, that the swing votes, as usual in the Electoral College in 2016, are going to be Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio, I think something that's big for the agricultural community is something that some Democrats have to support.
Especially in Ohio. Yeah, they're going to have a hard time talking past TPA if they didn't pass it and trying to get in Ohio. And as we know, Greg and I follow Ohio quite closely, and we follow it during the presidential cycle because it is such a key swing state and really determines many times the outcome of the presidential election. But speaking of that, let me flip this to the Republican side, because this week three Republican candidates are going to announce or have announced. We have Ben Carson. Let's take these one at a time, and we'll go through the positive and negative. So Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, and Mike Huckabee. Let's start with Ben Carson. Positives and negatives here.
Well, positives, he has passionate support among the base. He's a very, very good speaker. He's quite conservative, anti-Obama. As you know, African-American, retired neurosurgeon from Johns Hopkins. An interesting guy. But I think like all three, I think that he's probably looking at 2020. Maybe he's looking at a vice presidential nomination. Maybe he's looking to sell books. Maybe he's looking to be a talk show host. I mean, there are a lot of avenues. I mean, for all three of these, I think if any one of these three, Huckabee, Carson, or Fiorina, does real well, there's a future in talk radio.
No doubt. Well, let's talk about Fiorina because she announced on ABC, and obviously, let's go through her positives and negatives here.
Positives, great energy level, brings a business perspective when there's very little of that in politics, connects very well with people. Negatives, of course, she never held office. Some would say that's a plus, but I think on an awful lot of issues, she's a blank slate, and I think she needs to get smart in a hurry. The other thing is, Andy, I don't see where she breaks through. Does she break through in Iowa? Doubtful. Does she break through in New Hampshire? I don't think so. South Carolina? I mean, there's got to be some spot where she breaks through, and frankly, I just don't see it.
Well, and she lost in California. I mean, she did very poorly in that Senate race there. So I don't get that one. I really, if she's vying for VP slot, okay, I kind of get that. But overall, it really doesn't make any sense to me. Now, Mike Huckabee, let's go through his positives and negatives.
Well, a positive is he's a very nice guy. People in the base really like him. He talks to evangelical Christians in a way they appreciate. I think he has a chance to finish in the top three in Iowa, might even be able to win Iowa. He's not going to win New Hampshire, but then the third big race in South Carolina, I think Huckabee could do well. So I think people underestimate him at their own peril. He's not going to have a lot of money, and I think money's going to be a huge, huge factor, but he could wear well. He's very, very glib, and I think that in the debates, he will stand out.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the evangelicals, because as I'm looking through these all across the candidates, whether it's Democrat or Republican, but it's mainly on the Republican side because they appeal to the Christian coalition more. You know, it's fascinating to me that given the persecution of Christians around the world, that one of these candidates doesn't position themselves as saying, hey, This is at a crisis level, whether it's ISIS, whether it's attack on schools, whether it's Boko Haram, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm surprised one of these candidates hasn't made this a central component of their candidacy of saying Christianity is under attack. We need to do something about this broadly from a religious standpoint of ensuring that people can follow their religious beliefs globally.
Yeah, and I think that would resonate greatly in Iowa and South Carolina.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just Huckabee. It could be Santorum. It could be Carson. It could be Ted Cruz. There are a lot of candidates who can appeal on that level. You know, and Scott Walker's the son of a minister and devoutly religious. So I think that'll be part of the narrative, absolutely.
Yeah, I just keep thinking, you know, when you're trying to differentiate yourself, I haven't seen any of these guys talk about this at all, and it's an important issue, especially for Christians overall. Right. So you'd think that, you know, and you know Iowa has a lot of them, and there's a lot in the United States, and moreover, it's the right thing to do, right? I mean, this is an issue that needs some light shown on it and some action. So, looking at these candidates, you know, we saw that Cruz, Rubio, and Paul all got big bounces in the polls when they announced, and they were able to raise millions. So of these four candidates, which ones have the best chance of doing the same thing this week?
I think Huckabee will get a very nice boost. He's so TV friendly. I think that will that will help. And I think he's at the point, he's a pro. He's not as likely to make gaffes. I think, you know, Carson has made some, Fiorina may as well. But Huckabee has been, and it's not his first rodeo. And I think Huckabee is the least likely to make a gaffe.
I love how you judge. Least likely to make a mistake in front of television cameras.
Well, that's important. I mean, I think one of the reasons why Rand Paul got off to a bad start is that he said several things that he's had to walk back.
Sure.
And in a field this big, only two things could happen. One is you really stand out by saying outrageous things or profound things, and the other is you stand out by making a mistake. And I think everyone's got to be careful on that front. And again, the example so far has been Rand Paul, who's made a few.
Well, let me just wrap this up by asking you one question about Chris Christie, because we obviously had the indictments last week. This pretty much signals the end for Christie. Do you believe that?
No, I don't.
Here's
my theory.
Okay.
So a quick comment, Andy. We go through a candidate, there's the it candidate every few months. Right now, the it candidate unquestionably is Marco Rubio. He's been on a roll for the last month or so. But then we'll tire of this it candidate and look for another. And I think the media, I think the Washington talking heads will have their eyes on two people. One is John Kasich. Who was very impressive on one of the talk shows this weekend, a very interesting fellow who's probably going to run and I think deserves some attention. And the other it candidate could still be Christie. He wasn't indicted. He didn't plead to anything. Mm-hmm. I think the Christie campaign is going to give this one last try. And I have to like anybody who goes to New Hampshire and says we've got to cut Social Security benefits and raise retirement ages.
Great point.
It has to be done. And for Christie to have the courage to do it, I give him credit.
So as they said in Monty Python, not dead yet, right?
Yes, not quite. The old saying is maybe dead, but not dead and buried.
That's right. All right, Greg Valliere from Potomac Research. Thanks for bringing your insights to the show today.
All right.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm Andy Bush. This is Engage.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.